Hello everyone. Today we have an eclectic show. We swing from pizza to best sappers, movie reviews, traumatic brain injury, digital media versus physical media, and do we really even exist? Come on in and enjoy this scrambled egg sandwich of a show. But first, listen to this.
Good job, Robo Voice.
Texas. They say everything's bigger here. And they're right. We've got big cars, big hearts, and even bigger stakes. This is beef country, Texas. Home to the Alamo, the Cowboys, and the largest military installation known to man. So big, it has a big name. Fort Hood. The Great Place. It's got a Texas-sized podcast as well. And this is it, right here, Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. Yeehaw.
The state of our union is excellent.
Huh?
It's the state of the union was this week.
Yeah, and primaries too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I thought I'd, you know, be topical.
Okay.
Start the show topically, because there's nowhere to go but up from there.
Okay. We don't talk politics.
No, but the state of our union is great. We are the Army's greatest podcast, Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. We are.
Yeah, we are. And I am Charlie Mabe.
I am Brianna Dew.
And, yeah, I'm still Dave Larson.
All right.
For now.
Yeah.
For now. For now. How about that local sports team, huh?
Woo.
Huh?
Superb owl.
You watch the Super Bowl?
Did you just say bowel?
I said superb. Podcast? Superb owl.
Oh, I thought you said super. Oh, bowel.
I love owls.
Oh.
But do you like superb owls?
Oh, that's the best kind. There's none better. None better at all.
Did you watch it?
The Super Bowl? No, I didn't. It was funny because last year, my wife's first year in America, so it was her first chance to see the Super Bowl ever, and she said to me, I want to watch the halftime show. Let's watch the halftime show. Now, I'm not into football.
Right.
But I said, okay, yeah, we can. I'll hook you up for that. We'll watch the halftime show. So it came time, and I switched the channel, and we watched it, and she was very excited. She had heard wonderful things about the halftime shows that we have for Super Bowls.
Right.
And maybe 7 minutes into it, she turned to me and she said, I thought these things were supposed to be good.
Oh!
And I was,
man.
Yeah. So, got roasted. No. I feel, when I was younger, I wasn't into football, but it was a thing to watch the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tune in for the commercials.
Yep. It's still that way now.
But I don't feel like the commercials are as good as they used to be.
There was a couple of good ones.
And they sort of ruin it by releasing them online in advance. See the commercials you're going to see during the Super Bowl.
Wait, they release them early now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That takes away the fun.
I know.
Why do they do that?
It's almost like all they care about is advertising stuff. And they don't care about the surprise.
Well, it is a commercial.
It is.
I mean, isn't that hurting their revenue?
No.
No.
Because
then they get more bang for the buck.
You get more gazillion people going to see it before everyone else.
That's just
you want to be first.
No, they're taking away the magic. That's the best part.
That's what the internet's all about, baby. But taking away the magic.
As the only sports fan in the room right now, it was a really good game.
I'll tell you, like I said, I'm not a sports fan, but my family's from Kansas. And so anytime anything happened, my phone would blow up because they're all
they were
sending
stoked.
Messages. And
I bet you were up late then.
I was, and okay, you guys, we had the Super Bowl talk. And I was like, hey, what time does this go to? Because I don't know.
9:30, it was over.
5 to 11. And I was like, gee, that seems like a long game. I timed that. It was not 11
when did it end?
9:30.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
And then when you got all the post-game interviews and they hand them the trophy and all that, by 10:30, it's over.
But who watches that? They won the end. Do you really? Oh,
I do. I do.
The, all the parties I've been to in the past, they always watch the whole shebang.
There are parties?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I am out of the loop.
Yes.
Super Bowl
like every
parties.
Every bar restaurant in existence will be open. And
oh, they want you there as long as you, especially if you're out and about.
Exactly, especially if you're drinking. Yeah.
We went to last year, like I said, we didn't watch the Super Bowl, so we went out to eat, and we went to a pizza restaurant.
They were playing it.
Well, not only were they playing it though, but they had like stacks and stacks of pizza.
Oh yeah,
and they had made so many in advance, you could only order one thing off the menu. Whoa. It was like, you can have pepperoni pizza, and that's it. That's all we have is pepperoni pizza.
I wouldn't like that.
So we had a pepperoni pizza.
Oh, man, that's awful.
Well, I like pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah, but one topping?
That's all they had made. They had made thousands of pepperoni pizzas.
No mushrooms? It's not a pizza without mushrooms, Charlie.
Just pepperoni. I mean,
come on.
You're pepperoni, so cheese, and sauce.
Yeah, no.
You want all the options?
Yeah.
Oh. Actually, I'm a very adventurous pizza eater myself.
You are?
Kitchen sink. Put it on.
Oh, yeah. My wife and I have gotten into going to the frozen food section. See, they didn't have this in Japan. They don't have frozen pizzas. So it was an adventure for her to get into these things.
And then you customize them.
Yes. Mm. Oh, so that was another level. So we got into the frozen pizzas, picking out what kind do we want? What maker? What looks interesting? And they have really cool frozen pizzas now because it's not just the crispy, really cheap stuff. They got high end.
Yeah.
With
the quality's gone up
stuff
a
on
lot.
It.
So even the packaging like looks really cool.
Oh
now.
Yeah, it's a serious racket now. So we would get the pizzas, and then I was like, hey, you know, you can add extra cheese and extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can. So then I got we bought a pizza, and now here's one covered in onions because she decided she wants onions.
Right.
And now here's one covered in this and covered in that. So.
Well, I'm sure that blew her mind.
Oh, yeah. Because
they don't, so when you're overseas, they don't let you customize anything. It's like you order what's on the menu and that's what you get.
Right.
So. Yeah, but the real question is, do you like pineapples on your pizza?
Only with ham.
Yeah.
Hawaiian pizza.
I don't like pineapples on pizza.
And you're from Hawaii.
I know.
That's like a sin. They don't let you back into the state now.
I told you I'm a bad Hawaiian. I'm allergic to coconut.
I don't like coconut either.
Well, I used to like it until my body said no.
Until it tried to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pizza.
What kind of pizza do you like? Brianna.
Pepperoni.
Nothing else.
I'm citing. Well, I do like extra cheese. Does that count too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
I do like the Supremes. Like I don't want having mushrooms or jalapenos and all that on there.
What about you, Dave?
Growing up, number one, it's the crust. It's got to be the super thin cracker crust.
Really?
I like that.
I do not like a thick crust pizza.
I'm a thick crust guy.
I like both.
No, there's nothing wrong.
I like both, but,
you know, preference.
Mm-hmm.
Uber thin, right? And then my favorite pizzeria was a mom and pop place, and it actually expanded into a chain for a while, and now it's back down, and there's only one left.
Aww.
Still. When the last time I went home, there's only one left.
Wow.
It's not even the original one, because the original one was in my neighborhood, right? And it was in the basement of a hardware store. That's where the pizzeria was.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's where it started. Was in the basement of an A-frame. Looked like a house. The main store, the main floor was a hardware store. And then under in the basement was a pizzeria. That's where the oven was. Anyway, that pizzeria made something called a sausage special.
Mm-hmm.
And what was on it was sausage, pepperoni, onion, green pepper, and mushrooms. And what was weird about this particular pizzeria, I can't say the name because they still exist, right, is that the cheese blend, besides the crispy, crackly, thing, the cheese blend, they actually threw cheddar cheese in there as well. So Ooh. It had an orange tint to it.
I love cheddar cheese on a
pizza. I do too.
It was really good. And no, you can't find it anywhere around here.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one of the things I do throw on a pizza when I make them at home.
Oh, that's cool.
Cheddar cheese.
There's a
that and fresh mozzarella.
There's a yeah. brand that I can't good. Mention as well.
Right.
That's you can find in your grocer's freezer that makes a cheeseburger pizza.
Wow.
That is wonderful. It's got a real tang to it mm-hmm. from the pickles.
Cheeseburger pizza.
Yeah, it's hamburger, pickles, mozzarella cheese, cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything you put on a cheeseburger. But on you've never heard of cheeseburger pizza?
No.
Have you heard of a taco pizza?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Really?
I just heard of regular.
Really quick, name off all the pizzas you've ever heard of.
Just pizza. I didn't know there was more than.
Oh, yeah.
What are the, like, are there like burrito pizzas or?
Probably now there are. Some guys out there going,
yeah, that, you know.
Burrito pizza? That's my $1 million idea.
I had no idea.
No, there's wow. all different kinds of pizzas.
How long has that been around?
Like a taco pizza?
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, forever.
Wow, I must be out of touch.
Either that or it's like taking my wife to an Italian restaurant. There's a million things you can order.
Yeah, that's
not a million.
True.
There's a million things you can order in the menu.
Yeah.
And my wife, well, it doesn't matter. She's going to order lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to go to what she orders mm-hmm. in every Italian restaurant, and that's how she grades Italian restaurants. I think you and pepperoni pizza are just like that.
Mm.
It's not that you haven't seen them, you just don't notice.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, taco pizzas have been around since the Mexicans came over on the El Mayflower.
On the Mayflower, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, but, yeah the, once they landed the next day, you know, started mm-hmm. whipping out those bad boys. All the pizzas.
Okay, I'm taco glad you pizzas. Clarified that.
All right. We have a good show this week, right?
We do.
What do we have going on?
We have a really unique show. It's not like any show that's come before it. That's one of the things I like about Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. The greatest and only podcast on Fort Hood is that we've got a format, but it morphs and changes. And this one is definitely different than what's come before it. So, all you folks out there, strap yourselves in because this is going to be an interesting and wild ride.
Nobody likes needles. The folks at Fort Hood's Robertson Blood Center get it. But giving blood means giving the gift of life. January is National Blood Donor Month. Help celebrate it by giving the folks at Robertson Blood Center a call to schedule yourself to give a gift that could save a life. Write down this number, 285-5808. That's the Robertson Blood Center at 285-5808. Give them a call and give till it hurts. Okay, it doesn't hurt that much, unless you really don't like needles. Then you can look away when they stick you. I actually passed out once while getting blood drawn, but that's because I forgot to eat something that morning and smoked a half pack of cigarettes before walking in. Don't ever do that. But the best part is that when you're done, you get juice and cookies. I really like that.
Let your voice be heard at BOSS.
What's BOSS?
BOSS stands for Better Opportunities for Single Soldiers and serves the single service member community, active, guard, and reserve, as well as single parents, geographical bachelors, all U.S. military service branches, and foreign service members assigned to the installation. The BOSS program is based on quality of life, community service, and recreation and leisure. As a member of BOSS, have a voice in how you live, how you spend your leisure time, and how you support the community around you. BOSS membership and the program's available leadership and project management roles also will enhance your promotion packets. For more information about how you can become a BOSS member, visit our website at hood.armymwr.com.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. Close enough for the government, good enough for you.
So much love between us.
Ah.
right. Well, we got a really cool thing happening. Yeah, it's something that we've never done before on the podcast, and that is we've got a phone-in interview.
Wow. Yeah, new Welcome technology. To the 21st century. I know. We have a phone.
And what this means, this is important, because what this means is no longer are we strapped to the console. We can, Brianna.
Would you just stop?
We can have people call in from anywhere. So we can have reports from Iraq and Afghanistan. We can have reports from wherever.
Wow.
It's amazing, huh?
It's a new way to communicate with our listeners.
Telephone. Mm-hmm.
Candace Cameron Bure, if you're listening to this, you can call us in. You don't actually have to come here. We can have you on the show.
Yeah.
The window is still open. Come on through the window, DJ. Come on in. We want this to be a full house.
The possibilities are endless.
And they are.
Yes, they are.
So we're just waiting for the call. And as soon as that comes in, we're going to patch it through. So while we're waiting for that, we're going to throw in one more quick spot break.
Okay.
Here, while we're waiting for that. And then
we're off to the races.
Go. Yeah. See how this works. Fingers crossed. Brianna's just nodding her head. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back yes. to it.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. She snorted again.
I'm trying not to laugh. You keep saying, like, strapping in.
Snorted so good.
Flermit the Sock here for the thrift savings spam. Is it meat? Who knows?
Cut.
What?
Flermit, baby, look at this script. Mm-hmm. It clearly says thrift savings plan.
Oh, yeah.
It's about saving money, not lunch meat. Let's try this again.
Thanks, Steve. Flermit the Sock here for the thrift savings plan.
You got it, baby.
Soldiers and DOD civilians, listen up. Are you socking away a little bit of money each month in your TSP? What? You're not? They call me crazy. The Thrift Savings Plan is a great way to make sure that you've got the supplemental income you need when you get old and wrinkly. Plus, the government can match up to 5% of your contribution. That's a free money. Make it rain, Uncle Sam. Make it rain. So look out for your future and sock some money away in the Thrift Savings Plan account. Visit www.tsp.gov for more information. You can retire like an ex-prince moving to L.A., or in my case, his wife.
That's a wrap.
All right, now we are on the phone communicating from here in Fort Hood, Texas, all the way up
wow.
to Fort Riley, Kansas, with First Lieutenant Dominic Larkin and First Lieutenant Spencer Rohr. They are the part of the only company from the 36th Engineer Brigade that is at Fort Riley, Kansas. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. Geographically distant, away from the flagpole. That's a good thing, right?
It's definitely got its mixed bag of pros and cons. You know, we get a lot of opportunity to do different training that we probably wouldn't get to do if we had a battalion tasking us out
right.
with different things. But then again, the lieutenants and the commander and the XO have a ton of extra stuff that they have to take care of.
All right. Hey, Sapper, there's lots of people out there. People know what a ranger is, sort of. Sapper is like the next level up from an engineer, right? Can you explain that for the folks out there that have no clue, like me?
Of what the difference is between
a sapper?
Who has attended the Sapper Leader Course for someone who has attended the Ranger School?
What? No, what's a sapper?
Yeah, my mom thought a sapper was an army guy that went to trees and got maple syrup. So, you know, set her straight. What is a sapper?
All right, so basically the term sapper comes from the term sap, which means to dig, back in, I believe, the French. During the medieval times, the sappers would dig underground to the fortifications of fortresses, castles, and that's where they would kind of either place explosives or dig underneath. They were really the first combat engineers in modern warfare, and over time that term's kind of progressed, taken a different meaning, and become your modern-day combat engineers. Sapper is really, it's not just Sapper doesn't just mean a tab. Like, if you're a combat engineer serving in a Sapper company, those are the Sappers. The Sapper Leader Course and Sapper Leaders are what come from the Sapper Leader Course. That's just the next level of certification through the engineer regiment, basically stating, hey, this guy has gone through Sapper Leader Course, been certified at being able to accomplish these tasks and leadership skills. So essentially, like, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, that sounded good.
Cool. You guys are the best Rugged Brigade Sappers. Tell me about how you guys worked as a team and how that all works.
I think we're just kind of perfect for each other as teammates for the Best Sapper competition. I think we definitely have our weaknesses, but we're pretty good at covering down for each other's weaknesses. And then overall, like, we both push each other to make our – we're both really competitive with each other. We do PT together. We go to the gym together often. We both lead the Sapper train-up and the school's train-up here at 41st at Fort Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we even take on people from other battalions, the neighboring brigade engineer battalions. Wow. I think between leading those classes together, doing train-up together, PT, and doing competitions like this, we're able to kind of figure each other out.
Well, so doing all this stuff together, being attached at the hip, how did that come about? Now, when did you guys meet for the first time?
So we actually we went to Bolick back in 2018 over the summer. We met briefly when I went up to him one day in the Sapper train-up and asked, hey, man, we're going to Fort Riley. I heard you're going to Fort Riley, too. Do you want to be roommates? And he said, no, I'm not being roommates with anyone. So actually, after that, never saw him again until I got to Fort Riley. We both ended up over in the S3 shop at 1st Engineer Battalion. And they were getting ready to deploy to Germany for a rotation. And we were brand new lieutenants who were bound for the 41st Engineer Company. So they gave us the opportunity to go to Sapper School in January. It was kind of like a last minute, hey, you can get your packet together and get your gear squared away. You'll be able to go. So from that moment forward, we kind of took that last like 3-4 weeks right before we went, trained up, and actually went through Sapper School in January. We recycled together into March, and ever since then, we both came over to the 41st Engineer Company and been kind of working together to build up the Sapper program over here.
Well, that's amazing. What is Sapper School like, anyway?
So Sapper School is essentially broken down into two phases. There's the general subject portion, which is the first 2 weeks, and that portion has about a 1,000-point system that they don't really tell you what points are worth what, but it's all the technical tasks that you'll learn through Sapper School. So everything from knots, mountaineering, rappelling, demolitions, pathfinder operations. What else is there? Demolitions, deficiency lanes.
A lot of PT.
Yeah, a lot of PT. That's what you do. I think everyone knows the boat PT. That's what Sapper School, a lot of people see that. So you go over to Lake of the Ozarks and carry a boat over your head for a couple miles. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So you guys really put the combat in combat engineer, because when I think of engineers, I don't think of all that mountain school and all that. I mean, that's some hardcore stuff. With the competition that you were in, crowning you number one,
mm-hmm.
you had to do some serious stuff for that too. I see you had to do a stress chute, day and night land navigation, a knots test, make a poncho raft and swim. You had to do medical stuff, an engineering competency test, a 6-mile boot run, a 10-mile ruck march, and a rugged physical fitness challenge with 6 events. What were those 6 events?
So the 6 events, let me think. We had to do a number of different deadlifts. We had to carry some kettlebells and do lunges for a certain distance and then breach a door. Following that, we came across the finish line. And then all prior to that, there was, I think, a 2 or 3 mile ruck run from where we finished the poncho raft over to the actual finish line.
So when you crossed the finish line, did you know you had won yet, or was there this period of uncertainty?
There was definitely a little bit of uncertainty because we were placed in teams where we competed against another team on that ruck run, and they staggered us. So it's not like we knew we weren't the first ones to come across, but we also knew that throughout the course of the event, we We did pretty well on a lot of the events. We came in first place on the 3 mile run following the PT test. We came in first place on the 6 mile boot run. We came in second place, I believe, on the 10 mile ruck march. We came in first place on the nighttime land nav portion. So we had a good understanding of what our where we were, but we weren't sure. You know, you can never be too sure.
Yeah, the scoring, I mean, you guys, first place, you were a good 100 points. I don't know how they score these events, but you were like 100 points better than the second place team. Do you think that bodes well? Because you guys are gearing up for one more level of competition, right? Tell me about the next step.
All right, so for the next step, this competition was awesome for us because it exposed to us a lot of things that, all right, we're actually pretty good on here. Maybe we don't need to spend as much time working on this. So, example, the runs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to spend much more time running. It's always good to toughen up your feet, but other events, like more technical events, some of the construction of the demolitions, we can get a little bit more hands-on with that. We hadn't spent much time training on that, so it'd been quite a while before the competition.
Right.
But this competition was great for us because it showed us, hey, we need to work on the construction of these charges, or hey, we need to work on swimming faster.
Yeah.
We got smoked by the two teams we swam with.
Right.
And going forward for the actual, the Engineer Regiment Best Sapper competition, that's at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, essentially, it's 50 hours, 50 teams from all across the country, and really all across the Army come to compete. And then it's 50 miles all throughout Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, basically different stations, which kind of similar to the Best Rugged Sapper, just a little bit larger scale.
What does that mean to you guys? I mean, you're both lieutenants. You're still fairly new to the Army to be representing your brigade at such a high level of competition.
Well, like, we're definitely excited for the opportunity that we get to compete together, I think. Yeah, I think so. The opportunity to get to represent the brigade is awesome. Both Dom and I are just really competitive guys. So we love, like, it was fun, honestly, to go out. Like, all the teams we competed against were really competitive. We also got an opportunity to meet some people that we normally wouldn't since we're so segregated from the brigade. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't normally get to see the other battalions and see, hey, what are these guys up to, or what do you stand against them? But just getting to actually go out and represent the brigade and then just compete against other soldiers from across the Army, like the best, some of the best teams the Army has to produce, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Now, you mentioned demolitions, you guys get to blow up stuff, right?
That is correct.
So
it's one of the top perks.
Is that fun? What's it like to blow something up?
No, there's definitely, so there's risk mitigation measures in place, like with everything the Army does.
Oh, of course.
Safety
of course.
First.
But it is an awesome experience when, especially the urban demo, you can get a little bit closer to it. You really get to feel the force that comes across your chest when you pull that initiator.
Well, that's awesome. Now, for those junior sappers coming up, do you have any advice for them, being that you're doing a pretty good job at excelling yourself?
Yeah, I think the biggest advice that you can, as like a junior soldier who wants to go to sapper school or a junior leader, is just take that opportunity. Like, if you get the chance, like, hey, maybe you might be weak on something, but just go. Like, even if you don't tab the first time, like, the experience in and of itself, you get so much knowledge that you can take back to your unit, and then just, even if you don't graduate, you already have that knowledge, and then, hey, you can go back again and just do that much better. Like, most people who don't graduate end up going back and succeeding, so.
Well, that's great. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to call in and talk with us today, and I want to tell you from Fort Hood, congratulations on your big win, and we're going to be pulling for you in the next big stage of the competition on March 30th.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate your support.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we'll be doing a simple little scene that I think you all will enjoy. Let's start with a little 2-inch brush and a touch of Van Dyke Brown. Make a little like, just like that. There you go. Now we'll switch to the sap green, and we're going to make a happy tree. Oh, this is a very happy tree. He's happy because he received a scholarship grant from the Military Children Program, administered by the nonprofit Fisher House Foundation. As we add a little kiss of titanium white to our happy tree, It reminds me that there are 500 scholarship grants, each for $2,000, that will be awarded for the 2020-2021 school year. Oh, that's nice. Now we use a little burnt umber to create a little deer standing under our happy tree. He's a happy tree friend deer. That comes to mind because eligibility for the scholarship program is determined using the military deer's database. I guess at this point we'll add a little forest phone booth so that our forest friends can call 856-616-9311 to get more information on the scholarships. And I'll put a little laptop on this toadstool so they can all visit militaryscholar.org for more information as well. And shoot, with that I think we just about have a finished painting. As long as those scholarship applicants get their submissions in by February 24th. So I'd like to wish you happy painting, get those scholarships in, and God bless, my friend.
It's now or never.
So, Texas weather. It's hot. It's cold. It's been rainy now.
Yeah.
They have it all.
Where's your tagline? What's up with that?
What's up with that? Texas weather. What's the deal with Texas weather? Sometimes it's hot.
Well, there is we do have a Texan with us.
Yeah, we do.
Here in studio.
Oh, God.
We do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going there.
Yeah, what's up?
Play that card.
What's up with Texas weather, Blair Dupree?
I don't know. I went home this weekend and
that's still in Texas, though.
I know. Orange, Texas, and we walked out of the store and it was sunshining right before that, and then we looked out and to the left it was nothing but dark gray clouds and to the right pure sunshine. So it was like, I have a picture. I have photo
that
evidence.
does not work on a podcast.
Okay, but people, use your imagination, be creative. There you go.
All right, she's showing the picture around. This picture is of a cloud in the sky. Part of the sky is blue.
Now you have to email that for, or send that photo to Charlie.
Yeah. Part of
you got to send it to Charlie so he can post it.
Part of the cloud is dark, and there is a woman holding her hand up.
Now everyone's going to judge. Everyone's going to judge the quality of it now. Like,
So check that picture out on our Facebook page and comment on my description. Yeah, that looks just like that. Yeah. I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, what is up with this weather?
I don't know.
Because it's all over. People talk global warming. This isn't global warming. This is just Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It is hot. It's cold. It's rainy. Although I appreciate the rain because of the allergies. Both the wife and myself have crazy bad allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that rain just pushes it all to the ground. It pushes it in the ground. It kills it.
What about the freezing cold? Does that kill it too?
It does, but I was reading an article about that this weekend, and actually Texas is one of the worst places you can live if you have allergies, because it doesn't get cold enough to kill all the allergens and all those plants, so it's pollen season all the time.
Nice.
It's a pollen party in Texas. Come on down to Texas, Richard. Pollen party. We've got the cowboys. We've got longhorn steer. And we've got all the mucus you can stick out your nose.
See, I know people that talk like that, so it's not funny to me.
It's just reality.
It's just reality. And that's what we bring you here on Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
That's right.
A big
just your Uncle
dose.
Charlie, right?
That's reality, right. Yeah.
Only the truth.
Now, Blair, why are you with us here today?
I'm going to talk about movies.
Are you? Well, you'll need to speak about them louder and into the microphone, please.
Okay. I'm going to talk about movies.
And that's interesting because Blair is actually the sports reporter from the Fort Hood Sentinel.
Sports and leisure.
And
editor.
Oh, an editor. Sorry. Yes. Wow, I demoted you.
Come on.
Editor. Okay. The editor. Reporter. Capital E.
Yes.
And I have to mention that the Fort Hood Sentinel is Fort Hood's greatest and only newspaper.
Standing watch since 1942.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Never a week missed except for the ones they don't go to print.
That's true.
No, it is. How many Army newspapers are there left now? Like actual physical newspapers?
I don't know. Maybe 50.
That's not. But there used to be like everybody and their neighbor. Yeah.
Hundreds.
So it's it is a great institution, and seriously, a great institution, and it still exists. And Blair is carrying that torch. He's the 237th sports and leisure editor. and the cool thing about this is if you pick up the paper now every Thursday, you'll be able to turn and see a section called That's Entertainment. And Blair's going to have her own little niche in there, movie reviews. And now she's bringing that to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be once a month. I did a poll in December, Fort Hood's favorite Christmas film.
Everybody believes polls, right?
Yeah, totally.
So trustworthy.
I do totally see it.
Hillary Clinton. It. Hillary
I mean,
sorry, I had a cough.
All that cedar.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of digging around for stories or something to do, and I wanted to do something kind of interactive, and it wound up that more people participated than I ever thought would. So I was. If anyone that did that's listening, I'm very appreciative of that. But I thought, you know, if everyone's so into movies, and I like movies, and my family, you know, we all watch movies together and that type of thing. So I figured maybe, you know, doing movie reviews once a month of maybe like a couple movies that come out that month would be something cool to do, and pull some more leisure into the sports and leisure section. You know, because... You know, sports isn't bad, but it can get sports heavy, especially during football season.
Yeah, there's usually a lot of sports in the sports section.
Yeah.
Sports from head to toe. No, I have noticed.
The Army's big into fitness. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
you know?
People. Hey, right? People like sports. But yeah. I have noticed our sports section from time to time. We've had a review of concerts before in there. We've had video game reviews in there. So I think movies is a great addition to our stable.
Chris Hawks does our... video game kind of entertainment. Sometimes he'll do a concert or like the Renaissance Festival or something, and that's not really my scene. So I feel like this was kind of a good start for me.
You're staking your claim to movies. Nobody else do movies. That's her game.
When we talk movie review, are we talking the big picture? You know, you see it in the cinema. You're not watching it at home on the tube.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like...
Because it's a different experience altogether.
Yeah, it is. It also depends on the movie you're seeing and all that good stuff. But yeah, for sure.
Tell us about Doolittle, Blair.
Okay. Doolittle stars Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doolittle. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of him as Iron Man. And after Endgame is just kind of depressing thinking about him because Tony Stark dies. Spoiler alert.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. I mean, if you don't know that by now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like
if you don't know that by now, you don't care.
He's not dead if he lives in our
house. Exactly. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine. But
did she just spoil it for you?
No, I don't care.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Dave hasn't seen a single Marvel movie.
You haven't?
No. And that makes me depressed.
What?
You know?
Never.
So do you purposefully not see them? Or?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Even if
you're
they're free on cable, I don't care.
He walks by, there's the line out the door at the movie theater, and Dave drives by and rolls down the window and yells, like, I'm not seeing that!
Yeah.
Drives off.
And everyone goes, okay. But
Tony Stark dies!
Oh my goodness. That's funny.
Yeah, but... And it was nice to see him do something different, you know, from the same character he's played for the past decade.
Yeah.
So just seeing the previews and things, I wasn't expecting a lot from the movie. I was just kind of like, oh, they're going to just ride on him kind of and just, you know, oh, look, it's Robert Downey Jr. Go see it. But and I took my roommate with me, the lady in the photo that I showed y'all before and that y'all will see on Facebook, but just to have a second opinion. And we both kind of walked out and we were pleasantly surprised by it, kept it entertaining. And I enjoyed Robert's performance personally. It was not received well by critics, which I think critics with a lot of kids movies are kind of like, this wasn't deep enough, you know, or whatever. I'm like, it's a kid's movie. Like, it's going to have a fairly straightforward plot and you know, conflict and resolution.
Right. Well, yeah. Speaking of deep enough, I wanted to ask you about this. There's kind of a controversial scene in the movie towards the end, and I don't think I'm spoiling this for anyone.
Are you
but
sure?
If I, if you don't want to hear, if you're driving down the road, put your hands over your ears for the next 30 seconds or so.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But isn't there a scene where he goes elbow deep inside the rear quarters of an animal?
Yeah. And to be honest, I was thoroughly, that's like the one part of the movie I was like, okay, let's move on. You know, like the kids.
That's how it got the PG rating, right?
Exactly.
So was it like intentionally slapstick or they were trying to be serious?
No.
Can you be serious with your hand up a dragon's rear end? I mean,
yeah, it was.
Hollywood does weird things.
Yeah, it was like definitely the joke for all the little kids that find that part of the anatomy very amusing.
Oh, okay.
And anything to do with it.
Kids.
Yeah, farts are funny. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe some adults, but the kid, the rowdy kids in the back, there was a very nice family with some very vocal children in the back of the theater, and they enjoyed that part very much. So, but yeah, that was not my favorite part at all.
But you felt the other parts of it balanced it out. That part can be forgiven.
Yeah. Just kind of keeping track of everything, all the moving parts was kind of, you know, hard at times for me, but I really enjoyed Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Cool.
That's great.
That's awesome. I'm glad you did, because not a whole lot of other people did.
No, they
honest.
Didn't. And that's kind of sad to me, but I personally liked it.
Well, you know, movies can get bad raps by critics.
Yes.
But that shouldn't keep people away from the movie. If something looks interesting, go for yourself and see if you like it or not.
Yeah, yep. And if anyone cares, the rating on Rotten Tomatoes, I checked this morning, critic scores a whopping 16%.
Right.
Oh.
But the audience score is a 76.
Oh, well, that's not
bad. So that kind of tells you, you know.
It's not highbrow enough for the critics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's not catering to their demographic necessarily. That's true. Like, if it's reaching the kids and it's a kid movie, then they did their job.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I liked the original Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy.
That's not
the original.
Here we go.
It's not the original?
That's not the original.
Oh, no.
I knew this was coming.
Oh,
okay.
No. I thought that was the original.
No.
No.
What was the first one?
Rex Harrison played Dr. Doolittle in like the late 60s.
Oh.
And it's a musical.
What?
I will stick my hand up the dragon's.
I love musicals.
Yeah, it's a musical. Starring Rex Harrison.
Okay. I looked up the trailer just so I could see what this was. Oh. And I swear the announcer sounds just like you, Charlie.
Of course it does.
Just like you.
Was the announcer going, I got allergies.
No,
what's up with that?
No. But I mean, like, I was like, this sounds like Charlie in the podcast room
recording hilarious.
Something. But he definitely, just from what I saw in the trailer, I couldn't really find many clips of it, but it seems more serious, whereas like Eddie Murphy's, I also watched a clip of that, was trying to be funny to me, but like not super funny really, just kind of like cheap humor.
Yeah.
And then Robert Downey Jr.'s performance physically kind of reminded me of Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman a little bit, because he did the hat flips and stuff.
Yeah.
But more like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, where he has these really quirky mannerisms and that type of thing. And everyone thought it was going to be kind of reminiscent of him in Sherlock, but his accent's like Irish or something like that. So he's got this weird kind of quirky vibe. So if I had to pick out of the three, I probably would still go with the new Doolittle.
Yeah.
But not for really any CGI anything like that, but mainly for Robert Downey Jr.
Well, oh, man.
For all naysayers and Brianna, here is Rex Harrison.
Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting to a cheetah. What a neat achievement.
I wish I had known about this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Talk to the animals. Learn their language.
get to it, Rex. Jeez.
Yeah, man. He's supposed to be singing.
I don't think he sounds like you yet.
No, she said the announcer sounded like me, not Rex Harrison.
It was in the trailer that sounded like you.
I would converse in polar bear and python, and I would curse in fluent kangaroo.
All right, we're drawing the line at cursing.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's not a family movie.
I like that.
Cursing fluent kangaroo.
I like that.
Is that like Kangaroo Jack when he jumped up and rapped? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
What was the song?
Kangaroo. I don't know what song it was.
Oh, God. No. I like watched that movie once, and I was like, never again.
All right.
Ever.
No, I think most of the world was like that. I think I probably violated some FCC regulation by mentioning Kangaroo Jack. Mm. Yeah. All right. So now what was the other film?
Okay.
You're talking about the
war
movie?
Last Full Measure.
All right.
Mm. Is based on the true story of William Pitzenbarger, who was a Air Force pararescue, yes, in the Vietnam War. The over 30-year journey or, you know, just problem or...
Process.
What's the word? Thank you. Process of getting him awarded the Medal of Honor. So, like I said before, it has my favorite actor in it. It's his first lead role.
Mm-hmm.
I could not miss this movie. I drove to Pflugerville to watch this movie.
Pflugerville. Oh. Wow.
Yes.
It's like 40 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
It was like an hour.
It's before Austin.
It's like next to Whoville, right?
Yeah. Yes. All the Pflugs down in Pflugerville. Yes. Well, I'm going to the films.
Yes. You turn on Cindy Lou Lane.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. Me and I took my roommate again. I feel like it captures so many things very well, and I feel like it can speak to a lot of people, like, and, you know, especially the people that work on military bases, whether you're civilian contractor
mm-hmm.
like me or, you know, active duty, veteran, reserve, anything. Mm-hmm. I really feel like this kind of, it has a good message, and it's a shame that it wasn't, you know, put out in more
right.
places. So,
this is one of these where you go, you have to get it on Blu-ray, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or
exactly.
Streaming. Streaming.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. This movie got kind of mixed reviews by critics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if people walk in expecting a full-out war movie, they'll be disappointed because there's not as much shooting and explosions, and mm-hmm. it shows that, so you can kind of understand what Pitzenbarger did.
Is it as flashbacks?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. Basically, Sebastian Stan's character is Scott Huffman. He's a Pentagon employee,
mm-hmm.
and he's tasked with getting Pitzenbarger's Air Force Cross
upgraded
to the Medal of Honor, and he's approached by William Hurt's character, and he starts on this journey. He's like your stereotypical guy that's like totally, you know, this is my career and I have to go up in my career and whatever. And as he kind of talks to the veterans and Pitzenbarger's parents, he's kind of affected and it changes his outlook on life. And
mm-hmm.
He becomes a better person, better family man, better, you know, just kind of everything.
Nice.
But it does kind of go back and forth when he's talking to the veterans of just what they saw and when they're telling the story, you know. It's a war movie, so it's got some fairly graphic stuff in it.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't show that, but it's not, I'm going to tear your heart out, like, just showing you how graphic
sure.
it can get.
Right.
But I feel like it focuses more on the aftermath
mm-hmm.
of war. So, like, it mm-hmm. really shows the veterans struggling with different things. Like, mm-hmm. Peter Fonda's character's got really bad PTSD. Samuel L. Jackson's character has really bad survivor's guilt. So sure. I feel like it's more of a mental warfare after the fact. Like, that's more of the war aspect it gives.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best years of our lives. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
You youngins haven't.
No.
You want a good mental dealing with war movie?
Mm-hmm.
The best years of our lives. It's black and white. It's about soldiers back in the States dealing with what they saw mm-hmm. in World War II. Mm-hmm. It was written yeah. by soldiers
yep.
who were in World War II, and it is extremely authentic.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because even back then, they didn't even know what, like, the general public didn't even know what PTSD was.
Well, they called it shell shock.
Shell shock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And they didn't address it like we did. Yeah. It was one of those things, you know, stiff upper lip, suck it up and move on with your life. Bad things happened. And now we're more aware of the emotional impact, and we try to address that the best we can.
Mm-hmm. And the physiological impact, too, like all the brain scans and all the science behind it.
Even TBIs are kind of a new thing. Yeah. I mean, it's,
absolutely.
But it's new. And well, we're off really talking on military stuff in the movie section.
Doesn't that say something about Hollywood, though, that nobody wanted to make the movie and it got such a limited release? To me, that's very telling.
I think
where we are, whereas every Marvel movie ever, you know, every Marvel character ever done in a comic book has got their own franchise. To me, that's broken.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that, without trying to get too political here, there's certain things as a society. Well, I'm going to say that again. There's certain
society.
After everybody stops laughing.
Suffering shock attacks.
I'm going to edit that out.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Apparently, I did not.
Suffering.
There's certain things as a society that...
thank you, Sylvester.
That we have a hard time looking at, that we have a hard time addressing. And as we've become more divided as a culture here, it has become harder for us to look at it, and it's getting harder and harder. People don't want to address the fact that there are still soldiers in Afghanistan.
Right.
There are still soldiers in Iraq. We have soldiers in Iraq from this very installation.
Right.
But you don't hear anything about those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is an out of sight, out of mind. And if you look at some of the stuff that people in Hollywood have said, and that's not everybody,
right,
but they're influential people who have said this, you can see Hollywood has almost become, it's a distraction from real life. You go to see the Marvel movies, you go to see Dr. Doolittle, so we don't have to deal with the realities of what's happening in our world and our society.
Right.
And it used to be, movies could be like that, but there were a lot of movies that reflected society, and you were meant to go to watch this and experience something and think about it, and maybe it improved your life because of it. Mm-hmm. And we sort of turned away from that.
Mm-hmm. I think the indie scene does that really well, like all the festivals. And I don't really watch a lot of indie or B movies, but I don't think Hollywood's ever been for the people, honestly. I think they just do it for themselves.
Well, I think they were at a time.
You think so?
I do.
I don't think during my lifetime.
I think that there was sort of a golden age of Hollywood, probably 40s through the probably...
Early 70s.
Yeah.
Really?
It started turning in the 60s. Started turning into what it is now.
Yeah.
Right.
In the 60s. Mm-hmm. And really hit full-blown where we are now with Jaws and Star Wars and the invention of the blockbuster.
Right.
The summer event movie.
Mm-hmm.
They wonder why people aren't going to see movies in theaters.
Right.
Revenues are down, and that's part of the reason. That's one of the reasons why The Last Full Measure had a hard time getting made, and that's because I'm sure people saw it, it's a war movie, people are dealing with mental problems. That's such a downer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to pay to see that? They want their money spent on sure things.
Yeah.
Something that they can market. How do you market that? What toys can you sell? What are the residuals? There's not anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me and my roommate were having the same conversation. And obviously I always talk about like the superhero trend.
Right.
Because it's definitely a trend right now. If you go back to the early 2000s before the first Iron Man came out, superhero movies, where were they?
Batman, you know? Superman.
Yeah. They didn't take off until later.
Yeah. And like DC movies right now, not to get too far off topic, but like, you know, they can't pick up, you know, because they're just struggling with whatever they're putting out.
They've gotten a lot better since Zack Snyder.
They have. The last one, I saw Aquaman and Wonder Woman, so they were good. But, like, Marvel has kind of just taken over. And I don't think they expected it to take over.
No.
But it has, and that's where we are right now. Yeah. But Todd Robinson, he pitched this movie before 2008, before Iron Man came out. So sure. they still weren't picking it up. And, you know, just from a business standpoint, what I learned in college is just, like you said, they want to make money.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you try making a Western now. Try getting a Western made.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an uphill battle. You're going to have to find independent financing for that. Mm-hmm. But try to get a horror movie made. Anybody can get a horror movie made
now. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to give DC a chance because my brother loves Batman, okay? Mm-hmm. I never could get hooked on the movies because they were so dark. Mm-hmm. I just walked out feeling depressed. You know what I'm saying?
Of which movie?
It's one of the Dark Knight trilogies. It's the one with Bane.
Okay, the third one. Yeah, everybody walked out of that going.
Yeah. Yeah, I went with some friends in like high school and they had seen the others. And I recently saw the one with Heath Ledger as Joker.
So wait, you didn't see that one before you saw the third one?
No, and I had told my friends I haven't seen the other ones. And they were like, it's fine. And I was like, no, it's not.
No, I'm going to break in here for a second. Once upon a time, I had a friend named Mark Ernest. And Mark went in 1977 and he saw Star Wars because everybody was talking about how great the Star Wars movie was. He went and saw it. He thought it was okay. He wasn't bowled over by it. And then a few years pass and there's The Empire Strikes Back, the next Star Wars movie. But Mark didn't see that because sequels are never any good. But then a few years later, they came out with another Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. And he thought, well, this has made it this far. This must be something. So he went to see Return of the Jedi. And when he comes out, he's like, that movie was awful. I don't understand. Darth Vader's Luke's father. There's a Muppet that's dying. There's all this stuff happening. What a
spoiler alert.
This makes no sense. And that's sort of like what happened to you. This is the third film of a trilogy that wraps everything up. And you're like, what is happening here?
Yeah. I was very confused and I don't really remember much of the movie at all. I kind of just blocked it out of my memory. You know, and then Christian Bale's voice, like, I'm Batman.
Oh, goodness.
Everybody loves Christian Bale's Batman voice.
Yeah.
Loves with quotes around it.
Yeah. But, you know, and I'm also big on who they cast. And I feel like Marvel was smart because they would cast actors that didn't really have much of, like, a reputation, with the exception of Chris Evans as... what is he?
The Flash.
Yes. No, not the Flash.
The Flamin' Cheeto.
Johnny Storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Flamin' Cheeto.
Human Torch.
Fantastic Four.
Human Torch.
Human Torch.
So, like, movies are an escape for me. So what you had said earlier about them kind of being an escape from the real world, mm-hmm. like, I like that. Not that I don't want to deal with the issues of the real world, mm-hmm. but it's like I want to just kind of, you know, escape into this world for a few hours. It's kind of like how I am with books. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I escape into a different place.
Well, there's nothing wrong, I think, with a movie being an escape. Mm-hmm. It's just that every movie shouldn't be an escape. Like there's nothing wrong having a candy bar from time to time, but every meal shouldn't be a candy bar.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But when they said they cast, like, they were going to cast Ben Affleck as Batman, I was like, who? And then...
Wait, you didn't know who Ben Affleck was?
Like, I knew who he was, but I was like, that's who you're going to cast as Batman?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The internet had a field day with that.
Yeah, and I mean, and honestly, I wouldn't want the job of casting Batman because Batman is Batman.
Yeah,
you know?
Michael Keaton. I mean...
Yeah, like, who can you just think of off the top of your head that could play that character?
Michael Keaton.
In, like, today's pool of actors that we are provided, who
Michael
could do
Keaton.
That? Michael Keaton.
He's not dead yet.
He was Beetlejuice, too, right?
He was. He was Birdman, too.
See, and then...
He was better as Beetlejuice.
You didn't like him as Batman?
No.
I like him as Batman.
I feel like...
I don't think that he was omnipotent enough.
Batman isn't omnipotent. He's a guy in a rubber bat suit.
Well, like, that's what the tool ideal they were pushing with the newer trilogy. Like, he was unstoppable.
He's
like,
got a tool belt.
Yeah, but that's...
And cool
that's,
cars.
That's
and
what I got
stuff.
From it. Mm-hmm. They were trying to make him, like, so much larger than life.
Well, he is Batman.
next month, more aligned with my demographic, mm-hmm. Birds of Prey is coming out, which is a movie about Harley Quinn.
So it's a superhero movie.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Yep. That's fine.
I'm not.
Okay, I'm so saying. Harley Quinn is not the family-friendly
one.
Do you have one in mind for next month?
Sonic the Hedgehog. Which you can tell by my voice, I'm so happy about that.
You're so stoked.
Hey, no. They redesigned
him. You got to put on your inner 5-year-old to watch that.
Well, here's why I chose Sonic the Hedgehog, okay? When they initially released press on the movie, a lot of people were very, very unhappy with Sonic's character design.
You
don't know what I'm talking about?
He had human teeth.
Exactly.
He was so terrifying.
It was creepy. It was so bad.
It was pretty bad. So they actually listened to everyone.
They did.
And now his character design is much more, in my mind, not realistic, but believable.
Well, it's traditional. Yes. Traditional. And true to the character.
Okay. It doesn't look like a nightmare anymore.
Yeah. It's also got Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, gosh.
As Sonic?
No. He...
Dr. Robotnik, the evil doctor trying to capture him.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I figured that might be kind of a good movie to go see just for the gaming nerds out there.
You'll love it.
I mean, I don't hate it, but, you know.
I would go watch it.
Gotta go fast.
Yeah. I mean, they went back in and reshot, like, the whole movie with the new CGI.
Okay, hold on. Podcast, stop. It's a CGI character. They don't have to reshoot a movie for that.
Yeah, but they have
it's
to, like...
It's a digital effect. They just erase, bloop, and then they create a new one, and they just put it in, bloop, and then they're done. They don't got to reshoot. Nothing got reshot.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I thought they had to,
it's
like...
movie magic.
But why did they delay it so long, then?
Because it takes a long time to render a 3D character with a computer.
Exactly.
Mm. So they had to redo the...
Yep, they redid all the computer graphics.
He's a graphic.
Okay.
Brianna?
They have to make it move.
I don't want to ruin anything for you. It's not a real hedgehog. It's not like they trained a little hedgehog to go fast. Aww. He's computer generated. It's all fake.
Yeah. Well, I knew that. I just wasn't... I thought that they would have to, like, redo, like, the shots.
Nope. They had a little guy in a green suit doing the stuff, and they just put the CGI over the man in the green suit, moving like him, and it's that simple.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's still great that they listened to...
Now you've ruined the magic for everyone out there in movie land. I mean, come on.
Green suit guy is going, yes!
You're getting paid!
Someone's recognizing me.
He gets union scale, right?
Yeah, he does. Well, they get more than that. You get a good green suit guy, the guy that played Gollum.
Yeah.
He's a green suit guy.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, and now he's a big star. And he started out as green suit guy.
Gollum.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your movie opinions.
Awesome.
Even if we got off track a little bit there.
Sorry.
But that's what we do. That's our thing.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to seeing you at this time next month for what you think about Sonic the Hedgehog and Birds of Prey.
Yes, awesome. Thank y'all.
All right.
Thank you.
And we will be back right after
these messages.
Now you got to do two.
Hey golfers, are you looking for a new course to play? The Courses of Clear Creek is a 27-hole course with challenging greens located in the scenic rolling hills of Fort Hood. With a 300-yard driving range, 2 putting greens, and a 4-hole kids course, we're the premier golf course in Central Texas. Our pro shop is always stocked with the latest golfing equipment and name brand apparel, while our beautiful pavilion overlooking the course is a great place to enjoy a cold beverage. The Courses of Clear Creek, open to the public, offering annual, monthly, and summer membership packages. Give us a call today at 254-287-4130 or find us on the web at hood.armymwr.com.
Hey everybody, PFC Kyra Pearl here. You might recognize me from being on Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. It was really great being on the podcast, but now that Brianna's back, well, they kicked me to the curb. Who wrote this?
May, keep reading.
So, while I'm no longer in the know with the rest of the podcast gang, I'm still able to be on the cutting edge of Fort Hood news thanks to the Fort Hood Sentinel. That's Fort Hood's newspaper. You know, the one that comes out every Thursday.
I think that's Thursday.
But you typed the Fort Hood Sentinel comes out on Thursday.
Well, just keep reading.
They're an all-inclusive paper with something for everyone. You want Army news? They got it. Sports news? They got it. Health news? They got it. Kind of funny cartoons? They got it. Anything at all? They got it, baby. They got it.
No. Give me that. That's not the way you're supposed to read it. It goes like this. All right? They're an all-inclusive newspaper with something for everyone. You want Army news? They got it. Sports news? They got it. Health news? They got it. Kind of funny cartoons? They got it. Anything at all? They got it. Devin, you ever heard that song?
No.
Must be a generational thing. All right, we'll read the last part.
Okay. The Fort Hood Sentinel. Local news, sports, lifestyle, and even a crossword. Every Thursday. You got it.
No, you got it. Well, whatever. They got it.
Coming on strong on a Monday. I feel so low. Won't be long till one day.
Talking smack.
Talking smack. Brianna Du thinks physical media is dead. Brianna, it's, state your case.
The woman dying. Who will not read a book unless it's a hard copy.
Well, I mean, people my age just don't buy physical media like the previous generations.
Unless it's a book.
E-book.
Yeah, I do like holding the pages in my hand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean.
Me, I usually held the cover and turned the pages, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Yeah.
What about magazines? You like books. What about magazines?
I like them, but I try not to hold on to them.
So how do you read them? Ba-dum-bum.
I mean, like, I try to get rid of it. Like, I try not to collect it.
This is how we know when the show's gone on too long.
Yeah.
Is when this kind of start having this kind of reaction to questions. But really, physical media. Mm-hmm. You think dead. This came up because while those commercials were going, we started discussing music. And I said I had a lot of CDs. Mm-hmm. And Brianna said, CDs scratch. And I said, not if you treat them well. And she said, physical media is dead.
Cue the gong sound. Raven flies by. No, I mean, people don't really, I mean, at least people my age, we just don't buy physical copies of things like that anymore.
That's so weird. Because you know when you don't buy it, you don't actually own it.
Yeah.
You've just borrowed it. You've paid someone the same amount that you would have paid to own it, to borrow it.
But it's like, it's that ideal of like, you know, because I guess minimalism is kind of a trend right now.
But it's not really minimalism because you still have all the junk. It's just on your phone or your pad, but it's still there.
You have it digitally, but it doesn't take up physical space.
Yeah.
Hmm. I look at it this way. If I have it and it takes up physical space and I no longer want it, I may sell it on a selling platform online or go into a store where I could unload it or give it to someone who could use it.
Show me the money.
If it's digital, I'm out that money forever. I can just delete it. That's my only option. There is nothing worse than paying big money for a video game that you then download. You bought it digitally. You hate the game, and now you're stuck with it forever because you bought it digital. If I had purchased it, the physical copy, I could take it to a store and maybe get some of my investment back.
Yeah, but I mean, even now people don't want to take the time to like collect it all together, put it in the car, drive it to the location, find the location. Oh my. You know, like that's not what people do anymore.
I just hit my head on the microphone. It was well cushioned, so I don't know if anybody heard that.
It would sound better if you bounced your head off the table, though, Charlie.
Ow!
Don't do that.
Don't take the cushioning off at home, folks. Oh, it hurt more because I'm bald.
Oh my gosh!
That was less padding.
Oh my goodness!
All right, well, Blair, you're still with us.
Yeah.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for contributing.
Sorry. I agree with you. by the way.
With who? Thank with you. Who? This is a podcast. Whoa. No one Brianna. Can see.
I agree with Brianna. She agrees with me.
Hey, so are you, Miss Physical Media is dead too? So if you're, if you believe that, are you going to start reviewing the streaming stuff as well?
Well, I don't really use a lot of streaming platforms. It's probably, I feel like I'm a mixture because I was raised by a lot of, like around a lot of baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Boomers, as some people from our generation call
them. Well, how could you not be? They're not dead yet.
I mean, whatever. But.
I mean, whatever, right?
Whatever.
Like, I feel like I have a little bit of mixture of perspective. So, like, I get it.
Yeah, I think you do.
But
we're similar.
I get it.
Well, no, I get it. You're just wrong.
But it's the point is, like, okay, yes, it exists digitally on your medium, but it doesn't exist physically in your space. So, theoretically, mm-hmm. your mind is not occupying that same space.
Man, does anything ever really exist physically in your space, man?
Oh, Lord, let's not go there.
I don't know. I mean, aren't we all just, like, a collective group of consciences?
We are. I think that's a good way to end it this
time. Yeah, we're all in the Matrix, and time to unplug your battery.
Yeah, definitely time to unplug this show. Well, thanks once again for being with us. Thank you, Brianna Du, even though I agree to disagree with you.
Well, thank you, Charlie, for agreeing to disagree with me.
Well, you're so welcome.
I'm glad we had this talk.
And Dave, thank you for staying out of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm here.
All right. All right, well, we'll all be back next week with more stuff.
Yeah, more boys against girls.
All right. So.
You lose. Charlie, you lose.
All right, we're just going to cut the umbilical cord here and let this baby drift off into the ether.
The baby boomer?
Oh!
I got nothing. That's it for this time, folks. Move on to the next podcast. Everybody, move on to the next one. I'm hitting the button.
Autoplay.